And you have an assistant this morning.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Are you blessed to be in the house of the Lord today? Amen. I would like you to turn with me in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter number 20. This is a very familiar passage that most of you I know have at one time, you know, delved into and see the miraculous acts of the Lord, even in this chapter. And as you turn over your Bibles there, last Friday we had a wonderful, wonderful, exciting Kesha. Oh my goodness. And we had an experience from this man of God. Some of you who attended, you know, can give a testament to what went on in this place. We had people coming from other churches. And Joe, you can remember how it was. It was powerful. We were firing the what? Huh? The gatekeepers of the city. Those wicked, those dreams, and those who moot up wicked things in the gates. And I have some good news that this man is coming back to be with us in May, in that week of May the 9th. I'm going to talk to him today and find out if we are going to have a series of some meetings or a weekend challenge, a revival weekend where we shall invite people so that they can come and be blessed. This man is, you know what, I've met many men of God, but this one is unique in his own rights. The Lord used him mightily. And so mark your calendars that week of the 9th, May 9th. I'm going to send out text messages so that you can get ready. I believe we shall have a Kesha, and I would like for you to prepare. If you will not be going to work, come during that Kesha. And he told me that, you know, I just hit part number one, and when I come, I'll be able to start part number two. Amen? Oh, I thought I was speaking to somebody, you know. Yeah, so please mark on your calendars, and the Lord is going to bless you. So let's go straight into the Word of God, 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. I'm going to ask my brother Ambrose to read that scripture for me, beginning from verse number 1. If you don't mind, read, and then I'll tell you if you're going to jump, you know, a few verses. But read from 2 Chronicles chapter number 20, verses 1, and let us all be attentive in the hearing of the word of the Lord. Yeah. Second Chronicles.
Now, all Judah with their little ones, they'll
wives and their children stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, "Listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you king of King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude.
Amen.
The battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you."
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thanks you. Thanks, Ambrose. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are in your presence. I pray that the text that you put in my spirit, Lord, shall be communicated to us by you. And that, Father God, we shall seize the truths that are found in this word. Let someone who is downcast be encouraged. Let somebody's spirit which is downcast be lifted up, O Lord. And let us know that the things that we encounter, Father, are just but little things before your presence. O you God, O Jehovah, what is greater than you? Who is greater than you, O Lord? And what it is that you cannot accomplish? Father, we completely surrender our hearts unto you. We completely yield our attentiveness to you. Therefore, my Father, move in a mighty way in this place. Father, move in our spirits and draw us to your presence. We give you glory and we give you honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, when you read the text that we just read, it just gives you or throws a light into the immense work of God among his people. When I read this chapter, I couldn't help but remember what God did to the children of Israel as they journeyed from the land of captivity in Egypt and towards the land of the promised land, which was Canaan. I was reminded, you know, of the things, the great experiences that the children of Israel experienced even as they moved out of Egypt to Canaan. And time again, you know, they were unfaithful to the Lord. And time again, they were almost sort of returning back, you know, to their old ways. At one time, you know, it really put me in a corner to see how the children of Israel were so distorted and how they were so disobedient that they longed for the food that they ate in Egypt, and they complained against Moses, and they told Moses, "Moses, well, they are not, you know, good food in Egypt, and can we go back and eat the garlics and the onions and the things that we used to enjoy in Egypt?" Yet God never gave up on them. Praise the Lord. Now, to appreciate this text, we have to go to 2 Chronicles chapter number 18, where we find this, you know, the land of Israel was divided into two kingdoms. There was the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah. Now, King Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. And there was a king, if you read in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter number 18, and the king of Israel was Ahab. And one time, King Jehoshaphat goes to visit Ahab, and he tells him, "Hey, you know what? I've got some plans. I want to attack a land called Ramoth Gilead, and I want to ask you, are you going to be with me?" And King Jehoshaphat was allied to King Ahab in marriage, and so just because, you know, he was aligned with him, and just because at the moment it's like he never understood what was going on. And he said, "Okay, I'm going to join with you so that we can go and attack this this city, the Ramoth Gilead." And so you begin to see the sensitivity of King Jehoshaphat at this point. Just because they made a decision to go and attack, you know, Ramoth Gilead, King Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, summons King Ahab and asks him, "Is there not a prophet in this place so that as we go, we can know that the Lord is with us?" And King Ahab, as he's speaking to, as King Jehoshaphat is speaking to Ahab, he summons his 400 prophets. And all of them, as he tells, sends them to work and tells them, I need you to seek the Lord, because we are just about to attack this Ramoth Gilead. And now we would need to know what's the Lord say upon our mission as we go out to attack Ramoth Gilead. Now, surprisingly enough, which is no surprise to me or to any one of you, the 400 prophets in unison said it is okay for you to go and fight, to go and attack Ramoth Gilead, and the Lord is going to give you an immense victory. But I see the sensitivity of King Jehoshaphat, even though all these 400 prophets gathered together to give unanimous voice to the king, because they spoke what they wanted the king to hear. But King Jehoshaphat still insisted, is there not a prophet in this city? And that puts King Jehoshaphat in a class of his own. He is not a man who is easily moved by what a multitude is able to say. He's not just moved by what these 400 prophets, you know, just declared to their king, because they wanted to just say the words that the king wanted to hear. He insisted to the king and said, is there not a prophet in this city? Even though there was a word that had been declared that they were that okayed them to go and attack Ramoth Gilead, but still King Jehoshaphat insisted that that was not enough. It is like he never concurred with the words of the prophet. It is like he was listening to another sense telling him that what these prophets have declared for us to go and fight, he had doubts within himself. He had doubts about their words. He really did not agree with what they said. He really did not agree that they were conveying the true message that was coming from God. And he insisted, was there any prophet in the city who would give the word of the Lord? Amen. And there was a prophet that always prophesied things from the Lord to King Ahab. And see, when King Jehoshaphat spoke to Ahab and asked him whether there was a prophet in the city, his name never came up for mention. He was never mentioned, or he was never summoned up to come and give a prophecy, or come to inquire from the Lord as regards their mission to fight Ramoth Gilead. His name was Micaiah. And finally, as King, you know, through King Jehoshaphat's insistence, Micaiah the prophet was called. But Micaiah had fallen out with the favor, you know, out of favor with the king, because he always prophesied against things that King Ahab spoke. He always spoke against what King Ahab wanted. And so he said, this prophet is against me. This prophet is against me. And we find Jehoshaphat warning King Ahab and telling him, such words should not come out of your mouth. And and Micaiah comes into the scene, and he speaks up against that mission, and he says that if they were to go to attack Ramoth Gilead, they were to be defeated. But we find King Jehoshaphat joining with this King Ahab, and they are going and they are fighting, and they did a few other things, like King Jehoshaphat, you know, they mooted a trickery whereby King Jehoshaphat was crowned with the robes of the king, and, you know, King Ahab was clothed in the clothes of war, and they went out to war. And as they go to war, King Ahab finally is killed. And King Jehoshaphat is returning to his home area in chapter number 19. And there he is met with a prophet, or a son of a prophet. His name was Jehu. And immediately he sees King Jehoshaphat. You can read that in 2 Chronicles chapter number 19. The Bible says in the verse number 1, then Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned safely to his house. See, the Lord spared King Jehoshaphat. He was almost killed in the battle. But because of what King Jehoshaphat stood for, because King Jehoshaphat was a man after God's heart, he was used in seeking the face of the Lord regarding certain matters, the Lord spared his life. Praise be to God. But the Lord killed King Ahab. The Lord, through the battle, killed King Ahab. and he comes back safely into his home, and he is met with by a person called Jehu. And this is what it says in chapter number 19, verse number 1. Then Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned safely to his house in Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, "Should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Therefore, the wrath of the Lord is upon you." I love this next word. Nevertheless, somebody say, nevertheless. And I thank God for what Pastor Julius just spoke about here. Nevertheless, good things are found in you. Say with me, good things are found in you. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, good things are found in you. Praise be to God. In that you have removed the wooden images from the land and have prepared your heart to seek the Lord. I love that. Amen. Pastor Julia said that it is very natural for any human being, including your pastor here, to judge you because of what you do. But I thank God, because God never looks at the physique of a human being. God never judges a person by their stature. God never judges a person by how well they are built on their muscles. God never looks on the outside, on the external, but God looks at the heart. Hallelujah. You remember there was one time I was was it Samuel who came to anoint the sons of Jesse? And when he came, and the sons are lined up, all nine of them, they are lined up, and he looks at the sons of Jesse, and the first son, he looks at him, he says, "Oh, come on, bring the oil." Just because Eliab, the firstborn, was well built, and he was handsome, and he looks like he was a go-getter, and he looks like he was all positioned to be a king. And as he went through all these sons, none of them except Eliab looked like he was the material that who would qualify even to be anointed as the next king. But the Lord rebuked prophet Samuel, so quickly, and he says, "Oh, no, 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 no. You are looking at the external features. You are looking at the muscles. You are looking at the stature. You are looking at the physique of Eliab. But I do not look at the external features of a human being. The Lord looks at your heart." And I am here to tell Empowerment Christian Center, it doesn't matter what people have said about you. It doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter even your history. It doesn't matter even what people have mentioned about you. It could be that people look down on you because of how you speak. It could be maybe people look down on you because of where you come from. It could be maybe people look down on you just because of who you are. But let me tell you, you know, people cannot define you. Amen. You are not defined by what people say about you. You are not defined by your history. Are you hearing me? You are not defined just because you're an African, but you are defined by what God says concerning you. Praise be to God. And as I stand on this pulpit, I want to put it across to you that God looks at the heart. Praise God. And even though King Jehoshaphat had aligned himself with an evil king, This man of God comes and he tells him that, you know, you aligned yourself with an evil king. However, I thank God when he puts a however in my life, because I may have done some things that are unpleasant to the Lord. Praise be to God. I may even have gone astray. I may even have fallen short of the glory of God. But God does not forget the things that you do for him. Hallelujah. Everything that you do for the Lord goes down on record. There are books in heaven that are called books of remembrance. Do you remember that time when you went and you were kind to somebody who was hungry? Do you remember when you picked up the phone one time and you spent 1 hour, 2 hours encouraging a person on the other end just because they were discouraged and they were almost giving up? Do you remember that time when you went out of your way and you did a service to the Lord, even though it was not pleasant, but you did it for the glory of God? Let me tell you, it is there in the book of remembrance. And it doesn't matter what you have done so far. It doesn't matter that you've gone all way astray. It doesn't matter that you parted ways. But God says that there's some good in you. Hallelujah. That I can look at the good that you did for me. And I am ready to use the good that I see. Hallelujah. To lift you up to the place where I want you to go. Praise be to God. As long as you are a child of God, there is a seal of ownership in you. Christ died on the cross for you. He hung on that tree just because of your iniquity. There was an eternal exchange that took place on the cross of Calvary. And you are a sinner. You are supposed to be pinned on that cross. I was meant to be pinned on that cross. I was meant to be slashed. 39 wipes on my back. A crown of thorns was supposed to be upon me. But Jesus did it for you. Praise God. When Jesus looks at you, when God the Father looks at you, when the Holy Spirit looks at you, He looks at you through the blood of Jesus. I said, when the Father looks at you, He looks at you through the blood of Jesus. I said, when the Father looks at you, He looks at you through the blood of Jesus. Oh my God, isn't it amazing that we can walk and we can do things, but as long at the end of the day, what matters is how God looks at me. I am glad to know that God looks at me through the blood of Jesus. He sees me as a soldier that is accomplished. He sees me as a righteous person just because of what Jesus Christ did for me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so he says, nevertheless, good things are found in you, in that you have removed the wooden images in the land and have prepared your heart to seek God. Amen. You have prepared your heart to seek God. The Lord. You have prepared your heart to inquire from the Lord. Nothing just comes into you and you just say, oh, this is just coincidence. But whenever something comes into your life, you have sought to seek the face of the Lord. Glory be to Jesus. When things come into your life, you have decided that I'm not going to take anything for granted, but I'm going to seek the face of the Lord regarding this issue. When they say that you're unqualified in your place of work and they're reviewing your things, I want you to know that when those things come to you, I have set my heart to seek the face of the Lord regarding this issue. Hallelujah. When they have sent out your children in school just because they're in discipline, I will seek the face of the Lord regarding this issue. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, church, as we sojourn in this life, it is not a question of if, when you're going to receive a report. And most of the times, the reports that we receive are reports that are discouraging. There are reports that really torment our lives. There are reports that are negative. There are reports that are discouraging. Hallelujah. And those reports you're going to receive. They're going to come to you. But what are you going to do when you receive a report? Many times you're going to receive discouraging reports. What do you do when you receive a report? What do you do when you hear that your child is sick? Has been diagnosed with a sickness that requires attention and money and doctor, hospital visits every now and then. What do you do when you hear that, you know what, you've worked hard for all these years and your business, somebody has come and struck a deal to eliminate your business? What do you do when everything seems to be going south and you don't seem to have any position of a board? What happens when bad news come to you? What is your reaction? I remember many times, especially for people from Africa, when you hear news, you say, guy. You know? Oh, what am I going to do? The first thing that sets up in your life is worry, is fear. Amen? Fear sets in when you receive negative. The first natural instinct that jumps into your spirit immediately is fear. And this is exactly what the Bible says in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. That everything seemed to be going on okay. King Jehoshaphat was a God seeker. But at some point, somebody brought some news and said there is a vast army that is coming against you. If you read verse number 3, B of verse number 3a, it says that Jehoshaphat was afraid. Say with me, Jehoshaphat was afraid. But he was, you know, fear came into him. But that was not it. He took it to the next step. And the Bible says that he sought the face of the Lord. Amen? And it happened after this that the people of Moab, with the people of Ammon and others, with them besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then somebody came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you, far against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and are in the Hazon Tamar, which is in En-Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared. But he never came. That was not it. I mean, that was not just about it. Let me tell you, there are people who receive bad news and they just, the devil throws fear into them, and that is what consumes them up, and they are not able to go to the next step. But God is telling us that when bad news come, Jehoshaphat has set an example of what we are supposed to do. When negative things come to you, when bad reports come to you, it is amazing when you receive a bad report. Because within an instant of a minute, there are so many information that are relayed in your mind. Oh, when you hear somebody sick, like for example, you hear that, oh, you know what? Your dad has been taken to the hospital. Do you know what? The devil is a master in sending emails to or WhatsApps into your mind. He tells you, oh my God, is he going to die? You even, within a minute, I'm telling you, you begin to see a funeral. You begin to see you raising money to go and bury your dad. You begin to see now you booking a ticket to go to Africa. I'm telling you, within a split second, that is the mastery of the devil. Because he knows that once he has, when he brings fear into you, oh my God, once he introduces fear into you, it eats you up from the inside. And it corrupts everything, every fiber of belief that you have in God. Praise be to God. No wonder the Bible says that where fear, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen? I was telling people on Bible study that in the absence of fear, in the absence of fear, you have faith. In the absence of faith, you have what? Fear. In other words, fear is the opposite of faith. And that's why we cannot leave. The Bible says, Jesus spoke and said, if you have as little as a mustard seed's faith, an amount, a measure of faith, it doesn't matter how big it might be, you can speak to this mountain and you can tell it, be moved from this place to that place. It is of paramount importance, church of children of God, for us to know that we have faith. That no matter the reports that you receive, no matter the information that you're going to hear, no matter the things that you're going to receive, even as a nation, even as a family, even as an individual, that we are not just going to settle to fear. Amen? Because the moment you settle down to fear, then the devil is going to use that tool to come and completely annihilate you. But King Jehoshaphat never rested on that. He just never settled on fear. But the Bible says that King Jehoshaphat was afraid, but he sought the face of the Lord. Glory be to Jesus. You know, he was afraid, but he sought the face of the Lord. Glory be to God. And you begin to see how King Jehoshaphat, after he sought the face of the Lord, he said, you know what? I cannot just fight this alone. This information is not just for the king, but he summoned everybody in Judah. And I like how they did it. They came with their children. They came with their families. They came everybody. Everybody was summoned together. And they declared a fast so that they would seek the intervention of God. Amen. And that prayer that King Jehoshaphat prayed was a powerful prayer. It is a prayer that is lifted up to God. And he speaks to the Lord and he says, Lord, I cannot fight this battle. This army is so large that I don't have enough army to surmount or to fight this army. But you, oh God, are you not the God that lives in heaven? Is your power not the power that subdues everything on earth? Hallelujah. And God is put in a position whereby he has to act. Let me tell you, when you recognize God, when you know that he is above every other thing, that when you know that he is well capable of fighting your battles, you put God in a position. But see, on the same time, God is not moved by our cry only, but God is moved by your faith. Somebody say, God is moved by my faith. And I thank God because the Bible says that every one of you has received a measure of faith. Amen? It is that faith that when God, when you're crying out to God, oh God, are you not the God in heaven? This army that has subjected me, this report that I just received from the doctor, Lord, there's nothing I can do about it. These people that have come together and have sent my boss to fire me, Lord, there's no knowledge that I have, Lord, to overcome this, Lord. Are you not the God of heaven who sees the hearts of men and women? You put your faith, puts God in a position, and he causes your position of faith causes God to act. Hallelujah. It is your faith that causes God, okay, I can see faith. I can identify myself. It's like God has a magnet that attracts himself to some faith. And when he is in heaven, God is omnipresence. But when in his position as God, there's that faith that is attracted to him. And when he sees faith in the midst of calamity, he says, now I have to be attentive because of this thing that I can hear from my child. And I can see this. I mean, I can see the assaults that are being mooted from the kingdom of the devil. But and this child of mine is praising me, and he is recognizing my sovereignty. He's recognizing my bigness. He's recognizing my sovereign power. And you put God in a position to act on your behalf. You put God in a position to act on behalf of your family. You put God in a position to act on behalf of your children. Are you listening to me? And this is exactly what King Jehoshaphat did. He said, God, I don't have enough power. This mighty army has come. Did you not give this land to us as the children of Israel to inherit this land? Let me tell you, the prayer that will move God is the prayer that will be prayed in faith. God sees the hearts. He is looking at our hearts as Empowerment Christian Center. He's looking at the unity that we shall have. You see, just the other day, the terrorists, and we thank God, you know, that we prayed for that. Terrorists came and attacked Kenya. You know? And you know, you've read about the story how they came and killed, you know, 174, was it 174 people? Huh? Almost 48 people. 148 people. And most of them were Christians. They were children of God. But you see now, if you would ask anybody in Kenya, because you've called home and you've talked maybe to your parents, that has inflicted fear in the lives of people. The number one mission every time when the devil attacks, whether it be personal, a family, or a nation, it is to instruct fear. You know? When the devil attacks your finances, it causes you to fear, because how am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to pay my mortgage? How am I going to pay for my car note? How am I going to pay for the school fees for my children? How am I going to put food on the table? Amen? When the devil attacks a family, anything that, any original attack from the enemy is packed with fear. That's what you need to know. There's nothing from the enemy that is going to be mooted against you, or launched against your family, or launched against your personal being, or launched against a nation that is not packaged with fear. And so they killed 148 people, and they brought fear to the whole nation. And when you say, oh, we are afraid. Now, people cannot even gather in assemblies. And the United States Homeland Security launches us a video telling people how you ought to run or fight or do other things, you know. It completely spreads fear like cancer. But if we're going to settle just on fear and thrive on fear, we are going to be finished as a people. But we have to move it to the next notch. We are going to inquire from the Lord. God Almighty, When I pray, what do you say? When that such a calamity has befallen, even in the land of Kenya, what are the Kenyans supposed to do? It is okay to have that fear in the first place, but we are not just about to settle on fear, but we have to move it to the next level and call upon the name of the Lord. God, you know Al-Shabaab, this sneaky force of the enemy can sneak on every public place and cause destruction and cause destruction of lives as well. But you, oh God, you are greater than Al-Shabaab. You even know where they live. You know their places of meeting. Let me tell you, if we can have just Kenyans coming together, I'm not talking about carrying a candle. We are talking about prayer. We are talking about inquiring from the Lord. Are you listening to me? It is okay to come together and mourn about people who have died, but that is not going to heal. That's not going to just bring any solution. We have to inquire seek the face of the Lord. God Almighty, you are greater than this terrorist. And God, you say through many a prophet that Kenya shall be the launch pad of your revival. Whether it be in Galisa, whether it be in Nyeri, whether it be in Nairobi, whether it be Mombasa, that is a sovereign land of Kenya. Wherever these people are, Lord, fish them out. Send a confusion in their camp in the name of Jesus. Let me tell you, if Kenyans can begin to pray about this, Al-Shabaab will be normal. Do you think Al-Shabaab is greater than God? Do you think that their tactics are greater than God's tactics? Huh? If we can come together and pray, Kenya will not experience any attacks from Al-Shabaab. But as long as we can just stay in the status quo under fear, oh, we are worried. They have sent out a letter to the Egerton University. They have sent out a letter to Maseno University. Oh, have you read this? Don't spread those letters. Spread word to tell people we have a Kesha at Empowerment Christian Center and we are praying for Kenya. Let us come together and pray. Amen. If you cannot make it, go into your closet. Pray for the nation of Kenya. Amen. Seek the face of the Lord regarding that nation. And things will happen. Oh, I know somebody is not listening to me right now. But I said, when you seek the face of the Lord, things will happen. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. And this is exactly what happened. Remember, in the book of Exodus, if you read the book of Exodus, chapter number 14, 13 to 14, God just gave victory to the children of Israel through a miraculous experience. Moses lifts up his rod and the Red Sea parts ways, and everybody is walking on dry ground, and they are so that they can get to the other end. And as they all arrive on the other end, the Egyptians realize that, you know, the Pharaoh had changed his mind. And he had said, no, I cannot let these slaves go. And they marched on with their chariots. And they are going after the children of Israel. And they realize that their God had given them an experience by parting the Red Sea. Let me tell you, you know, the people of the world don't know. Never, never, never. When God is moving upon you, anybody who does not really understand what is happening in your life, you better stay at a bay. Because God is working miraculous. God is working the miraculous and is doing some extraordinary things in our lives. In fact, one time I had a Bishop Jakes one time say, and I remember those words that he said, that if I see the Lord whooping you, if I realize that the Lord is whooping somebody, I'm not going to be in that area. Lest his whoopings might get to me. But if I see that the Lord is blessing Pastor Francis, let me tell you, I'm just going to be around there. At that point, God was fighting for these children. Amen? And anybody who would come around, God intervening for you. Anybody who would try to come and shortchange what God is doing in your life. Let me tell you, people laugh at people just because, you know, oh my goodness, Frank, oh, he's finished. He was fired the other day. He's almost losing his house. But you don't know what he talks to his God in the closet. If you are the person who comes to laugh at him, be aware. Because a double of what he might be going through might come to you. Are you listening to me? Never laugh at anybody just because they look like they are It's like everything is so completely gone. You don't know what they are saying before the Lord. You don't know whether they have positioned themselves and their faith has attracted God. And they say, okay, they fired you. Okay, they are almost closing your bank accounts. Okay, they are almost taking up your house. But I am telling you, stand and see the salvation of God. When there is a word that has been proclaimed by God concerning such a person, you better stay away. Amen? You better stay out of the way of God. Because this is exactly what the Pharaoh and his armies thought. That you know what? Oh, they are walking in the experiences that God had given the children of Israel. Including walking on dry land. Can you imagine? I mean, can you picture this? God is already separated the water. And these guys are seeing the walls of water. And they think. They think God just performed a miracle for the children of Israel. And they are running and they are seeing this wall of water, you know, just coming to almost to an edge and almost coming together. And they think that, you know what, we will use the miracle that God performed for the children of Israel to bring them back. I mean, think about this. If I was there, maybe I would have thought. And you know, Pharaoh, when you see in the movies, Pharaoh stood on the Mediterranean. I mean, he was just by the banks of Red Sea. He never followed them, but he told the armies, you follow. And when they were at the center, my God, when they were at the center and the children of Israel were on the other side, God told Moses and I believe the children of Israel, these Egyptians that you see, hallelujah, these Egyptians that are mocking my miracles, these Egyptians that are mocking my experience with my children, these Egyptians that have made a mock of me, you will never see them anymore. Amen? There are people who are playing cards with you as a child of God. They don't know that they are playing with fire. For you have been purchased by the blood of Jesus. You have been purchased by the blood of the Most High God. And anybody coming to play with you, they are playing with fire. In fact, let me tell you, child of God, any word that comes out of your mouth needs to be well filtered. You know? Not open up because your words can kill somebody. You know, in your anger, please constrain your voice. Are you listening to me? In your anger, constrain the words of your mouth. Because your words can build, either break or make somebody. You know, I was talking to a sister yesterday. No. The other week. And this sister came and told me. She came and told me, you know, my boss has been against me all the time. And, you know, and they are trying to abuse me at my place of work. And this sister came and told her that went into the office of the boss and told him, I've had enough. May God punish you. Let me tell you, the punishment came right there. This lady was carrying, I think, a heap of clothes. And she fell over. Like, you know, you remember the goddess of, what is the goddess of what? Ashdod. She fell over with her feet lifted up. The next time this sister went to her office, this sister was saying, what can I do for you? By the way, I have nothing against you, please. You know? Let me tell you, let me tell you this. Beware of the words that you speak because your words can kill somebody. Amen? When somebody has angered you, please let the peace of God overwhelm you because you can remove them out of this world. You are a very important person. Are you listening to me? You are highly, very important. As you walk in the streets of Dallas, you are not just an ordinary person. Oh my goodness. Okay, let me talk to this side. Maybe they are going to be attentive. I am telling you this, Sister Purity. When you walk in SMU and you encounter those millionaires, you are not just an ordinary person. Ben, wherever you work, you represent God in that office. If they know what you have, they might be, in fact, they can become, what can we do for you? What can we do for, because your prayer and your presence causes God not to bring judgment to that company. Oh my goodness, are you listening to me? When you're driving on I-75, there might be 5 believers in that 75. Those believers constrain the devils from causing accidents on that 75. Haya, munanisikiliza. You might be driving on whatever highway. You are the one, you are the priest of God. When God looks at you, he says, I cannot destroy that person. If there was not that person, angeniona. But God is so merciful. God is so gracious. And he loves you. And so God comes and he rescues Jehoshaphat, the prophet of God, and comes and says that this battle that is just about to befall you shall not be your battle. Are you listening to me, church? How many letters have you received from the IRS? How many letters have you received from the Homeland Security telling you that you have few days to go home? Hold that before the Lord. Lord, you are higher than INS. You are higher than Homeland Security. You are higher than ICE. Is they called ICE? You are higher than ICE. Father God, there's nobody that you cannot subdue on this earth. The most consoling things when you seek the face of the Lord is when you feel that peace that tells you everything is going to be okay. Then you have the reason to walk high, regardless of how they say, you know what? I have the word of the Lord that I'm going to stay in this land. Nobody can chase me because this land belongs to Jesus. And I have a reason to walk high because of who God is in my life. Are you listening to me, church? Because God, when God speaks a word and says, this battle that you're going through, this is not your stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I heard when I was preparing this message to tell some of you who are going through hard things and have received reports that you have not even shared with anybody. Stand still and see the salvation of God. People may have disqualified you. People may have put you in another corner, a bad corner. But God is looking and seeing some good in you. And he's just around, about to explode in your life. Amen. There's nothing that is difficult before the Lord. And Paul wrote to the Ephesians as I come to close. Paul said this. In Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number chapter 15, 18. This is what he says. Ephesians 1, 15, 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. The riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Amen? And his incomparably great power for us who believe. There is power that resides in you that cannot be compared with any power. Glory be to God. That power is the same as the mighty strength God exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only, listen, this is where which blows my mind, not only in the present age, in other words, the age when this was written, But also in the one to come, which is you. Are you listening to me? This power that cannot be compared, that God the Father used to raise Jesus from the dead. It is incomparably great power that resides in you. Not only in the present, in other words, the time when this scripture was written, but even in the age to come. That includes you. In other words, that power dwells in Sister Christine. That power dwells in Brother James Smooth's life. That power dwells in Sister Carol's life. You can execute it. You can use it if you need it. That power resides in Sister Elizabeth. Then those words, that power resides in the word of your tongue. Oh, glory to Jesus. That power is in Hannah. That power is in Sister Maria. That power is in you, Sister Leah. That power is in you, Brother Frank. It resides in you. That power that cannot be compared. Therefore, you can clothe yourself with a priestly anointing and a kingly anointing. You can speak certain things. Hey, are your finances going south? What have you saying concerning your finances? Are you blaming the United States economy? It might be the devil who wants to bring them down so that when you don't have finances, you look for another job. And guess what? When you have another job, you will never come to the house of God. I know you don't like me now. Have you spoken to the reports that they brought, the doctor's report concerning your health? Or did you say, oh, you know, these are Yale University graduates. They know what they're saying. There's a growth. They say there's a growth in you. Yes, I know that's a reality. But what does the word of the Lord say? When they say that you have fibroids in your womb, when they say that you have things that are going on in your system, what does the report of the Lord say concerning your life? You can exert this power today by saying, I refuse in the name of Jesus. I stand by the word of the Lord because I know God who raised Jesus with incomparably great power, and there's no authority, no kingdom, no nothing can subdue that power. That power was present in the present day at the time, but even in the age to come. So that power belongs to me. Amen. And you can speak that power. There's power in you, the words that you speak. Why are you looking at me like you're not believing what I'm saying? It is true. You have power. Your words have power. Let me tell you, one time I didn't even know this. I was just a young Christian. And somebody just came and told us that, you know what? Whatever you see, whatever you speak, possess. And I said, you know what? I didn't even have money. I really loved 1200 Dats and 1200. Can you imagine of all the cars that I really loved? A Dats and 1200 Julius, you know that, a small pickup. I said, if I can have this, oh my goodness, driving it in the city of Nakuru, oh man, I'll feel good. And so I told God, God, you know what? I will have a Datsun 1200. Let me tell you, God helped me in other means. And let me tell you, when I drove, when I got inside that small pickup, I was so happy. I was so elated. I was driving. You know, in Kenya, you drive when your hand is outside the window like this, and you're holding like this. So for people to know that this man has been delivered and he is driving a car, a 1200 Datsun. So from that time I learned, whatever you need, speak it. Write the vision of the wall. And even if it doesn't tarry, it shall surely come to pass. Amen? Do you want to be a business owner? Tell the Lord, I want to have our own kitchen that will be supplying things in this city. I want to have this. Write a list. Write it down. Put it next to your mirror. Say, this is my business. And I speak it forth in the name of Jesus. I speak it from the spiritual realm. I pull it now so that it can be manifested. Whoever is holding my business, I bring it forth in the name of Jesus. You know what? You're not just speaking like words. Those words have creative power. They are bringing things from the spiritual realm. For when you speak a thing, God creates it for you. Frank, when you speak something and you say, I want to driving a Mercedes Benz, you know what? God releases that Mercedes from heaven, and it is swimming somewhere in the spiritual realm, and it's trying to evade, you know, distract us. Your haters are trying to pull it back, saying that, you know what? Frank is not qualified to drive a Mercedes. Your haters will do that. They will try to pull down, to pull back the dream that God has spoken you. But when you continue to speak, I claim this Mercedes. I claim this Mercedes. I claim this Mercedes. Mercedes Benz is my car. I'll drive a 250 like Julia says. Let me tell you, sooner or later, you'll be seeing Brother Frank just like I did with that 1200. Now I'm zooming with a Mercedes. And you haters who hate Brother Frank driving a Mercedes, you couldn't even pull it back enough. For God saw the words that were backed up by faith. And his words, his power moved closer the Mercedes to Brother Frank until it is visualized. I speak a Mercedes Benz in your life right now in the name of Jesus. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. What is your dream? Learn to speak your mouth. God is backing you all the way. There are angels on this side. There are angels on this side. There are angels behind, backing you, waiting for you to speak. Yeah? Do you want to go home? See, the preacher was telling us on the Friday. Some of you have been held up here by fear that you cannot go home, because when you go home, you cannot go. Pick on those papers, that expired document that you have. Say, Lord, United States belong to you. I now speak, I want to go see my parents. I now go. Write it on the wall. Write it on the wall. Every time you wash your face, say, I'm going to Kenya. I'm going to Kenya. I will go to visit my family. I'm going to visit my brothers. When was the last time? You have always hungered to go and visit. Speak the word. Your words have creative power. Nimuraigua, your words have a creative power. What do you say in Munaskia in Zambia? How do you say it in Zambia? Muliemfula. Muliemfula. God is ready to do it for you. Muliemfula. Yes. Eh? Write it on the wall. Write it somewhere. Yes. And you can achieve it. Amen. Your dreams, you'll be surprised at your dreams. In fact, I was reading somewhere. Is this king who asked the Lord for victory? I can't remember who. I'll tell you next Sunday. You know, he wasn't for victory. But the prophet of God says that you only asked for this victory. But if you would have asked for more, God was willing to give you. Oh, yeah, did you preach about it? I was reading it yesterday, but I can't remember the king. He wanted to give him more victory, but he was just contented with that little the Lord gave him. But he said, if only you ask me, I was waiting for you to ask for more. And I was waiting for you to ask for me, and I'll grant it to you. Some of us have missed out on blessings because you've not asked. Ask the Lord to give it to you. I believe God wants to give you a house. God wants to give you a good business. God wants to give you a good schedule. What is a schedule? You've always wanted to come to church. At a schedule, ask the Lord, God, these schedules are made by men. Men make these schedules. Do you think that God can visit your boss and say, from today, this brother will not be going to work on Sunday. He deserves to go to church. Are you listening to me? Speak it to God. Speak it to God, and God will do it for you. Stand on your feet. In the name of Jesus. If he did it for Jehoshaphat, he never qualified. He had done some bad in him, but God saw some good in him. And out of the good that he did, God provided for him. And he gave him victory beyond measure. In the name of Jesus. Many people may have spoken words against you. They may have said that purity does not qualify. But when God looks at you, he sees some good in you. Hallelujah. Liz, they may have disqualified you. When they look at you, they say, oh, I'm Aisha. But God says, no, Ajaisha, because I see some good in her. If only she can ask me, I can prove myself. See, listen, church, God wants to show off. How do you think wants God to show off? How can I show off on this guy, man? This guy is my son right here. If this guy is, right now, he's trying to play the keyboards and sing and everything, I am proud of him because of how he has exerted himself. And I like his humility. This small son of mine. Kana kuja akikisikia mimi ninatoa vita nyumbani kaniambia daddy is going to be okay. Nani katoto? In fact, he really challenges me. Yesterday I was telling Jeremy, "Come here. Come here. What are you doing in the bathroom? We need to go. We need to go to Julius. You remember there was this shower and the guy is just washing his face and Joshua came and said, "Dad, he's going to come." I said, "Wow." Okay, I said, "I'm leaving on this one. See? Now I'm showing him off because of his character. God wants to show you off that this is my son that I love. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Father, we thank you. Father, we bless your name. Lift up your right hand before the Lord right now. Father, we thank you. We bless you. We give you glory. Oh Lord, we ask for forgiveness. Many times we have not recognized your immense power. Many times you have forgotten that there is immeasurably incomparable great power. Oh yes, that can subdue authorities, that can subdue nations, that can subdue powers. That power resides in us. Help us, Lord, even to exercise that power in the name of Jesus against the works of the devil, against people who hate us, against people who want to pull us behind, against our haters who doesn't want us to progress, that we shall use this word to speak against the whims of the enemy in the name of Jesus. Move in a mighty way, Lord, in our lives. Help us to be like King Jehoshaphat, who the Bible says that he sought after the Lord. That we shall seek the Lord concerning our families. That we shall seek the Lord concerning our life. That we shall seek the Lord concerning our nation. That we shall seek the Lord concerning our church. That we shall seek the Lord concerning our brothers. That we shall seek the Lord concerning our sisters. That we shall seek the Lord concerning the families of the church. In the name of Jesus. Father God, help us. We need to exercise this power. We need to exercise this authority. We need to exercise it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, endow them. Father, remind them. I don't pray that you give them that power. They already have it. But help them to exercise it. Help them to exercise it. I will not pray that you give it to them because they already have it. Help them to see it and to exercise it in the name of Jesus. Help us, Lord, to exercise it. I don't pray that you give them favor because you've given them favor. Help them to see the favor. I don't pray that you help them, Lord. I don't pray that you give them godly character. They already have godly character. Help them to see it, Lord, and to use it against the work of the enemy in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. Father, we adore you. We declare there's no one like you. Father, we shall be seekers of thee. Father God, regardless of things that come to us, that we shall face them squarely as children of God with the power. Father, we shall not see the giants in the city as, we shall not see them as giants, but we shall see them as grasshoppers. We cancel the report, my Lord, that was in the people that came from spying the land, who came with a report saying that they were like grasshoppers. I refuse that report in the name of Jesus. But I say that those giants are like grasshoppers, and we are the giants. We shall subdue them in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, to the glory and honor of your name. From this point today, Lord, I pray that none of these shall fear. In any fear creeps into their life, they will seek you concerning the issue. They will seek you concerning the matter. Lord, all the money belongs to you. If anybody needs money, Father God, open up the banks of heaven. Yes, my God, the bank of heaven incorporated in the name of Jesus. Give them those loans that they need from heaven. Give them those credit lines in the name of Jesus. From heaven, in the name of Jesus. Anybody who needs a business transaction, let it be done right now in heaven on their behalf. Anybody who needs a car, anybody who needs a job, anybody who needs unity, anybody who needs peace for their family, anybody who needs a solution for their children, Lord, release it. Release it right now. Release it in the name of Jesus. Release it in the name of Jesus. Release it in the name of Jesus. That when it is done, you will receive the glory. And that these kids of yours, my Father, you will be able to show off, show everybody off, that I love that church, that I love that sister. See what I've done for her just because of her faith, just because of who she is to me. I see the good in her, and therefore I acted on her behalf in the name of Jesus. If there is anybody in this house who has never given their lives to Jesus, I wouldn't want to close this meeting without giving you an opportunity. The Bible says in the book of Romans that he knocks at the door of your heart. If only you can respond, lift up your hand. I'm going to pray with you. He says, if only you believe in your heart that you are born again, that you believe in your heart even unto righteousness, you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord unto salvation, lift up your hand. I'm going to pray with you. Is there anyone? You might be here, you're sick in your body. Just lift up your hand. You need a miracle. You need a touch from the Lord in the name of Jesus. Lift up your hand right now. Lift up your hand. You need something, a special package from the Lord. I don't know what it is, but I feel there's somebody we need to agree with right now in the name of Jesus. Lift up your hand. I see those hands. I see those hands right now in the name of Jesus. As we pray, I want you to believe God. I want you to see the doors of heaven snap open and release that gift that you need, that package that you need, complete with everything that you need, nothing less, but everything that you need included in that package right now, and it shall be released. Father, in the name of Jesus, we humble ourselves before you. Lord, we may not have been faithful enough. We may have even run short of your glory. We may not have even gone astray, Lord. But Father, I know that there's some good that you can see in us. Father God, use that, Lord. Anything that we ever did to you, have mercy on this that lift up their hands. You specifically know their packages. You specifically know their needs, oh God. I pray that you package that need, oh God, in form of a solution. Unleash and send it to them in the name of Jesus. Let it come like a tomahawk blessing. A tomahawk blessing that navigates the mountains, that circumnavigates every hater, that circumnavigates every intruder, that circumnavigates any enemy in the name of Jesus. Right now I take power and authority over the enemies of God. You cannot hold you this package. You cannot hold this package back in the name of Jesus. I cast down your hands right now. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. This package is going to get to the owner. This package is going to get to the owner right now in the name of Jesus. Right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I declare these packages to be sent right now to these individuals. Receive your packages right now. 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 Receive your packages by the UPS of heaven. They are being dispatched right now. I can see the stamps being put on them. Receive them right now in the name of Jesus. Receive them in the name of Jesus. I speak financial breakthrough. I speak financial breakthrough in the name of Jesus. I speak peace in marriages. I speak, my God, peace to our children in the name of Jesus. Receive those packages. Receive those packages. Receive those packages. Receive those packages. Receive those packages in the name of Jesus. Receive them.
Receive them. Receive them. Receive them. Receive them by faith. Receive them by faith. Receive them by faith. Receive them by faith in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And I hear the word. I hear the Spirit speaking to me that when you receive that package, unwrap it. Let it see. Make sure that everything that you ordered is in there. And when it is there, remember to give God the glory. Come and testify so others can know that you prayed by faith and the Lord gave it to you, that the Lord may be shown off, that the Lord may be glorified in the name of Jesus. Father God, as we go out this week, I declare that no hater, I declare no intruder, no enemy will touch any one of these. I cover them by the blood of Jesus. I cover them by the wall of fire in the name of Jesus. None of them, none of the enemies of God will be able to touch any one of them in the name of Jesus. I declare their children blessed in the name of Jesus. I declare their places of work blessed in the name of Jesus. Their businesses will go far in the name of Jesus, to the glory and honor of your name. Father God, help us to be seekers of the kingdom. Help us to be the seekers of you in the name of Jesus. We give you the glory and we give you the honor. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Who loves him, shout a big amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.